going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wednesday, April 23rd, and look, I hardly had to be Nostradamus to predict that it was going to turn hot and humid because it does every year around this time, right? Well, highs near 90 by the end of the week. So get ready for that. Chance for showers today, highs of 83. Then tomorrow for the Zurich Classic, first day of real competition. And also the first day of Jazz Fest, dry, highs of 83. And then near 90 for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So hydrate and sunscreen and all that stuff. Right now it's 70 and the windows are foggy from the air conditioner, so that tells you everything you need to know. Walter Dublane joins us now, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at my alma mater, UNO. How you doing, Dub?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. Great.
Let's talk about the economy and tariffs. They got a new Gallup poll out, says 53% of Americans say their financial situation is getting worse. First time in 25 years, the majority has expressed financial pessimism. It's hard for me to weigh in on this because I make the same amount of money. I'm blessed. I do all right. And I buy the same amount of stuff. And I'm at that point in life where I don't spend a lot of money. So what is the situation on the economy, Dub? How do you even go about gauging it, people like yourself?
Well, I think what you're seeing in that poll is people are looking at their 401ks or 403bs, and they're seeing that the stock market has fallen 9%, and therefore the value of their retirement looks like it's going down. I think that's probably what's driving that particular poll, because the stock market is, well, again, Wall Street Journal said that the stock market's now falling about, in, it had the worst April since the Great Depression. Now, it picked back up yesterday because Trump had said some things about backing off on maybe we'll get a deal with China. And he also said that he won't fire the head of the Federal Reserve, which was scared, I think, everybody in the world when he said that. And so, and he saw what the reaction to that was. And so I think he's backed down for one of the first times. He's also, he's got Vance over in India, trying to work out a deal with them. So we're possibly seeing some possibilities of backing down on some of these tariffs.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, and I'm not, I just won't lead the politics out of this. I'm just looking at bottom line, right, on a balance sheet. What happened with tariffs? Did anything happen? Did we gain anything, or did the stock market just lose all of that value for nothing?
Well, no. I mean, well, we're not there yet. I mean, the question is, where are we going to be in 6 months or a year from now? And that's what people are, affecting the stock market is what's going to be happening. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we certainly gained nothing yet from the tariffs. But the question is, is he using this as a negotiating tool and trying to get better trade relations with some of the other countries? And if he gets that, he'll back down like he's talking to with India in particular. And if all that happens, then I think you'll see the stock market go back up and maybe we will have gained something.
So that's why I'm wondering.
Everybody says but we don't know if that's going to happen, if that's what's going on. But there's at least the stock market jumped up because of some hope that that might be happening.
So what's going on with inflation?
Well, of course, the tariffs themselves will cause at least short-term inflation. Now, those haven't really hit yet. I mean, our inflation rate is actually looking still pretty good right now. But the other thing about inflation is, I mentioned Trump was unhappy with Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, who kind of does more to control inflation than anybody else. And, you know, people got to remember that we've, you know, most people aren't as old as me, don't know what, or don't remember the last bout of inflation we had in the 1970s. But we need to remember that we haven't had any since the 1970s significantly until this pandemic thing that just happened. Mm-hmm. And that's because the Federal Reserve has controlled it. And so that's why the whole world, when he said, well, he wants to, you know, fire Jerome Powell because he's not lowering interest rates, that scared everybody. Because the Fed has done a good job of controlling inflation. Now, this what happened since the pandemic was just a confluence of events. That, you know, it was the Ukraine war. It was driving up oil prices. And then we had all the people coming out of the pandemic, spending money like crazy that they hadn't spent for 2 years. And then the federal government pouring money into the economy. That's what caused this current bout of inflation. But it was just a series of things. But the Fed has about got it back under control again, until the tariffs story started. And now we're worried about it again.
So let me ask you this, Dob, from the layman can be here. When it comes to these tariffs, at some point there has to be somebody that either has a computer or a big book with keeping track of what's tariffed and what's not and who collects what, when, where, and how. Did anybody get tariffed for anything, or was anything postponed, or was all of this just a lot of talk? I'm trying to get a handle on this.
Well, you know, the tariffs have started, okay? You know, this 10% across-the-board tariff, he declared a 90-day pause on a number of the tariffs. I know it's really confusing.
Because somebody's got to keep track of this, right, eventually?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, all the people that at the borders that collect the tariffs know on any given day what the tariffs are. And the people in the industry, I was talking to my daughter who works with basically the wonderful company and you know, producing pistachios all over the world. Mm-hmm. And you know, she's
really
talking about how complicated it has become getting her pistachios into Canada and into China. And you know, it's on a day-to-day basis of trying to just keep track of what's affecting them. So the people that are actually dealing with it are watching what tariffs affect me. And so they've got to know, but the question is, what are they going to be today? What are they going to be tomorrow? And that's the part that nobody really knows. Is he going to back down, or is he going to up them up again? And, you know, he said he's now saying nice things about China. You know, he got 145% tariffs on China, but now they're saying, well, maybe we can work out a deal. And so who knows?
Dub,
let
me ask you this personally, as a father, are you okay with your daughter selling out to Big Pistachio? I'm just kidding. I'm just making a joke.
No, she's done that.
Good for her.
She's done great.
Good for her. Absolutely. That's great. Yeah.
I liked it better when she worked for Russell Stover and used to send me chocolates.
Do you get free pistachios or not?
I do get some.
Good for you.
Often,
so. All right. Walter Dove Lane, our guest, associate professor of economics, finance at UNO, my alma mater. How's the economy working out for you? Because I'm trying to understand this. I really am. And I'm trying to take a snapshot or see the market lost a lot of value, or did it really? Do you have to gauge that over time? And we'll pick it up when we come back. And what effect do tariffs have? Because it seems like we've had a lot of talk. The market's lost a lot of value, but I don't know that we've really accomplished anything yet, but maybe it's too early to tell. I don't know. What are you seeing, y'all, at 504-260-1870? When you go to the store, is your grocery bill going down, going up? Are you doing any better, worse off, better off, same thing? What? Tell me. Because I buy the same stuff over and over. I buy brown rice and chicken. So there you go. Walter Dove Lane, our guest, back in the flash, 621 traffic now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Walter Dove Lane, associate professor of economics and finance at UNO, trying to get a handle on the economy. Dub, I've been getting texts, pardon me, from, you know, these spam texts about all of a sudden the market's crashing, invest in gold and so forth, and I never did quite understand the philosophy behind investing in gold, because if everything collapses, I don't know. First of all, if you think they're going to send you the gold, like you see these apocalyptic movies, if you think they're going to send the gold from Switzerland to your house, they're not going to do it, I don't think, if the world economy collapses. And if you actually own it and have it there at your home, what do you do? Take it and shave off a couple of pieces and get a loaf of bread? But between you and the store, there's going to be guys that are going to take it from you. So I don't quite understand that. What am I missing with gold?
Well, it's just the perception. that, you know, gold is viewed as always have been the one thing that will hold its value. And if the stock market crashed, that's why we're seeing gold is up. Everything else is down, but gold has been up. Mm-hmm. And because people think that that's will always have its value, no matter what happens. If the U.S. currency goes down the tubes, which it's actually heading right now, so the U.S. dollar is actually softened, which is another issue, right, recently, but weakened. But that's, I mean, that's just a perception. Now, the actuality of what could you actually do with it, I don't know if people even thought that far ahead. But that's, they just assume that if the world goes to heck and they have gold, that they have at least something that everybody will value.
It sounds good, but the, you know, the biggest, baddest SOBs could take it from you when you're trying to get to the store with it, presuming there is a store. And again, if a guy, if somebody in Switzerland is, quote, holding the gold for you, and you think the economy collapses, and you say, well, send me my gold, they're going to laugh at you. So I don't quite understand that. I never did. Well, I thought I was missing something.
Well, again, I'm certainly not an advocate of buying gold. But, you know, unless you're doing it as a speculation. You're buying gold because you think the price will go up like you do anything else.
But, like a commodity almost, right?
Yeah, but I would not advocate buying gold.
So let's talk about currency and its place, U.S. currency and its place in.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
The world market and how that affects the prices that we, and I know it's very complicated, but if you can give us maybe a 2.5-minute tutorial on that.
Oh, yeah, and that's actually something interesting because I say the dollar, I last noticed against the euro is up to $1.15. When I was in Austria last summer, it was $1.05. And so what that really means is that when the dollar is weakening like that, then it means that that the U.S. people have less confidence in the U.S. dollar, and it exchange. If you're buying, in other words, if I'm buying something from Austria, I've got to have euros to be able to do it. So I've got to be able to buy euros. Well, if the price of the euro goes up, it means buying anything from abroad becomes more expensive, and buying things from the U.S. becomes cheaper. So that's the way the currency, moderates when there's an imbalance of trade. But it also reflects people's perceptions, because the dollar is also used not just for currency to buy goods other places, but it's also used for investing. And there's a notion that the rest of the world sees the U.S., in particular with what's happening with the Treasury Department, you know, and people buy, you know, the safest investment in the world has always been buying Treasury bonds and notes in the U.S. But people's confidence in the U.S. and the rest of the world seems to be waning because of the wild things that are going on over here. And so their interest in investing in the U.S. seems to be going down, and that's showing up in the value of the dollar.
What are you looking for the next foot to fall? The next thing is an economist. What are you waiting to see the next thing to happen?
Well, again, the question is, to me, is Trump's tariff things really partly a bargaining tool to try to get better deals with the rest of the world? And if that works and then he backs off on the tariffs, then you can say, you know, he's a genius. I'm not real confident that's going to happen, because I also have heard all his life that he simply thinks that the rest of the world is taking advantage of the U.S. Because we import from them more than we export to them. But what he doesn't seem to understand is that people want dollars because they want to invest in the United States. And I don't think that's such a bad thing. So
thank you, Doug.
I'm not as worried about this balance of trade deficits as he is.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. We'll talk about Pope Francis and his legacy when we come back. 6:30, time now, WWL First News. 6:44, 16 till 7. The ceremonies continue for the late Pope Francis. Father John Cunningham joins us, Vice President for Mission and Identity at Loyola, a Jesuit priest. Good morning, Father. How are you?
Good morning. Fine. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. You know what I wanted to start with, if we can? We hear so much about the difference about him being the first Jesuit priest, first Jesuit pope, rather. Tell me about the Jesuit order and what makes them different, if you would, please.
Yeah, so our founder is St. Ignatius Loyola. He was born in about 1492, so an interesting time in the history of the world with colonialization and the Reformation and the Renaissance all kind of percolating. And basically, he had a conversion. He was hurt in an accident. He was in a battle, actually, and his knee got hit with a cannon. And he had this conversion in bed. He was in his 30s, and he basically said he wanted to be a priest, but he wanted to form a group of priests that were very educated. He wanted a very enlightened priesthood. And so he started this. He had to go to class and learn how to read, believe it or not. He was kind of in the, you know, landed gentry who didn't have – they had readers and writers who would do that for them. He goes off to the University of Paris to study and forms a group of men. There were seven of them, and they come together and they form the Jesuits, the Society of Jesus, and they're approved in 1540. And it's an interesting story. They basically ended up trying to figure out what they were going to do. He wanted to go to the Holy Land and be there, and they wouldn't let him in because of just political things. And so he comes back, and it turns out that they stumble basically into starting a school in Messina, Sicily. And it turned into a phenomenon between 1550 and probably the next 200 years, where they end up having schools all over Europe. And then they end up coming over into the New World. And so Loyola University here in New Orleans is kind of their creation. So it's a different group. So with Pope Francis, you know, if you look at his background, he's kind of interesting. He studied chemistry at one point. Since we're so involved in schools, both high schools and colleges, we're typically encouraged to have another degree in something else other than theology and philosophy. And so he has a chemistry degree. I have a physics degree. So that's basically who we are.
Let me jump in, Father, for a second. So if I were to ask you what makes a Jesuit priest different than other priests, you would tell me?
I'd say two things. I'd say one is the formation is pretty involved. Most of us spend 10 to 15 years in what we call formation, which is basically from the moment you enter the Jesuits and the novitiate till the moment you're ordained, a lot of education and formation involved. And I'd say the second thing that makes us really unique is St. Ignatius Loyola as well had this spiritual, he was a very, you know, his early part of his life, particularly his conversion process, he was a pilgrim, and he was wandering and just begging from people. And he sits down and he has this enlightenment where he basically writes what he calls the spiritual exercises, which are a series of prayers basically based on scripture, where you place yourself in there and pray. And we're famous for our 30-day retreat. Each Jesuit does that. We go off for 30 days and pray the exercises. We here in New Orleans have a beautiful place, Manresa House of Retreats, which is out in Convent, Louisiana, which still lives on that legacy of giving these retreats. So there's the two components, I would say, are the education and the formation. And then the second piece is basically these spiritual exercises, the spirituality of basically St. Ignatius Loyola. And I'd add a little third piece in there. You know, we ended up developing into a very super international order. So we're on every continent, maybe not Antarctica, although they've been down there, some of them studying, but we're all over. So that's an interesting aspect to add too. I think Pope Francis comes, as you see, from a very international perspective. He was the son of immigrants who went from Italy to Argentina, and then he has that background. And then he's part of this group of Jesuits that we're all over here we are in the U.S., we're in South America, we're in Russia. It's an amazing group.
So when we come back, I'm going to ask you, how did Pope Francis, being a Jesuit, how did that manifest itself during his papacy? But first, I want to ask you, Father Cunningham, what made you choose to be a Jesuit?
You know, I was always a good student. Mm-hmm. I love learning. I ended up before I entered the Jesuits, I ended up getting a PhD in physics. I did some research. I taught a bit. I was always very much interested in education, being a teacher, and also just research stuff too. And I really felt this call to be a priest when it started in high school, and it kind of percolated through college. And then I got to grad school. I thought, I kind of want to take both of these things. I want the priesthood and the background in physics. So the Jesuits were there with open arms. And so I taught physics for 25 years. And here I am at Loyola now as an administrator, but still working in higher education.
What I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that maybe Jesuits are a tad more pragmatic than our other orders?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I'd say that. I think pragmatic. I always think of Franciscans as being very pragmatic.
Okay.
They're out there on the, you know, basically, they call them itinerant preachers. They're basically helping people on the street, they're living a life of poverty, more of that pilgrim piece that you saw early in Ignatius's life. Mm-hmm. I'd say, I think we have always been an order that, I think because of the educational aspect of our formation, we've always been able to adapt to kind of what's going on in the world. And as I said earlier, you know, Ignatius started this, the Jesuits, basically a lot of things are going on, the Reformation, the Enlightenment, the Renaissance, all these things are percolating in exploration of the new world. And so the order's always had this, you know, out of necessity, I think, many times, to adapt to current situations.
You know, maybe pragmatic was not the right word, but I think we're saying the same thing differently. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Father John Cunningham, Vice President for Mission Identity at Loyola. He's a Jesuit priest. We'll talk about how being a Jesuit manifested itself in Pope Francis's papacy, and we'll look ahead to who could be the next pope. 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 657, 3 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Father John Cunningham, Vice President for Mission and Identity at Loyola, a Jesuit priest, about Pope Francis's papacy. Father, I'm going to give you a big question. You can jump in where you feel comfortable, and that is,
sure.
How has Pope Francis, being a Jesuit, how has that manifested itself in him being Pope? How important was it that we had a Jesuit Pope in the Catholic Church and the likelihood of another one? Jump in wherever you feel comfortable on a big, giant
interesting
question.
Yeah, that's a big one. I would say, first, you know, what you see in Pope Francis's papacy, and this is going to be coming up more, particularly when people analyze his preaching homilies, his talks. As I mentioned earlier, you know, a key thing for Jesuits is that we pray the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius Loyola. And there's kind of two big components of that. One is a period in the beginning, particularly, of the exercises where you look at your life and consider the sinful sides and things you've done wrong. And in the conclusion of that piece, you come to realize God's mercy, God's loving mercy in your life as you are a person trying to strive to be a good person of faith. His papacy, Pope Francis's papacy, was very much centered on the love of God, particularly God's mercy. And you see that over and over. And I think that just the complications of the world in our 21st century, people are looking for a lot of mercy of God in their lives just because things are so complicated. The second piece of the exercises is really following the life of Jesus from the moment he's born through his ministry, through his death and resurrection, and kind of incorporating that into your life and seeing yourself as being a part of that journey with Jesus and standing sometimes under that cross. I think you really see that in his homilies and his talks, just that idea of a personal God who takes care of us. So I would see those two pieces. And then in regards to the Jesuit now, I think, you know, the papacy's always been sometimes there's members of religious orders. They're already talking about who may be the next pope. One of the candidates they're mentioning is our Cardinal Tobin, who's in Newark, New Jersey. He's a Redemptorist priest. So there's always been kind of a religious group come in. I think in regards to the Jesuit piece, I guess it was time, and he was the best candidate. One of the things I'll say about this, these conclaves are amazing in that you really see the work of the Holy Spirit, and that what happens is when you may have a disagreement about a particular pope's personality, but you look at the popes over the last several decades, they've been incredible men.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.